prophecy of Isaiah and to chapter 62. The prophecy of Isaiah and to chapter 62. And we commence to read God's word at the verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast laboured. But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. The prophet Isaiah was undoubtedly the greatest prophet who lived during the 8th century BC. As we read through the prophecy of Isaiah, we note that he was a married man with at least 2 children. And his prophetical ministry was during the reigns of the kings of Judah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. His prophetical ministry lasted for approximately 40 years. And he began to prophesy just before the death of King Uzziah in the year 740 BC. And he continued to preach and to prophesy the gospel message until the time that Sennacherib came and invaded Jerusalem in the year 701 BC. The appearance of this man on the scene couldn't have been a more timely one, because the land of Judah was rapidly falling into apostasy and spiritual decay. She was following hard on the heels of her sister and northern neighbour, the land of Israel. And yet here's a man who suddenly bursts onto the scene of Scripture, who stands in the breach for God at a time of spiritual and national decay in the land. The closing chapters of Isaiah's prophecy, they depict for us the influx of the Gentiles into the church of Jesus Christ. And here in the chapter 62, we have the Messiah himself speaking. And in verse 2 here, he declares that the Gentiles will see his righteousness. That the Gentiles will be brought into the redeemed church of God. And they will become part of the bride of Christ, which is the church. In this portion of Scripture, the figure of marriage is used. And if you look back there at the verse 10 of chapter 61, we notice there that the bride has her wedding garments on. There we read that she is clothed with the garments of salvation and covered in the robe of righteousness. Now that she is dressed with her wedding attire on, the way is opened up for a change of name. A name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. There, verse 2, we read. Over here, in this province, we are very familiar with the concept of weddings. On the wedding day, the bride will march up the aisle with her wedding dress on. The way is opened up for a change of name. Men and women, that's the way it is here in Isaiah chapter 62. The bride will take on a new name. No more will she be called deserted. But we read there that she'll be called Hephzibah there in verse 4. If you look over there in the margin of your Bible, it means my delight is in her. The land in which she lives will no more be termed desolate, but Beulah, which means married. There at the end of verse 5, we note that the Lord will rejoice over her. That the Lord will delight in her. And here, having prophesied a glorious future for Israel and for the church of Jesus Christ, the Lord, through the lips of Isaiah, he urges his people to be vigilant and to be importunate in prayer, in seeking that the Lord's purposes might be accomplished. And you'll find our text today in verses 6 and 7 of this chapter. There we read, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. As we look at these two verses today, let's consider together the subject of God and his people at work. Notice with me, first of all, the divine appointment. Our text, verse 6, begins with the words, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. I have set watchmen. It's the anointed of the Lord who is speaking here. These watchmen were divinely appointed by the Lord. They had received their office directly from the Lord. They were to be the Lord's representatives. They were divinely appointed for a solemn task. And you'll notice there their placement. It's upon the walls of Jerusalem. Way back in Bible times, cities were built with walls around them. It was for the purpose of protection, to keep the enemy out. And the walls of the city would have been manned. As you would have looked at the top of the walls, you would have seen soldiers standing here, there, and yonder, across the top of the wall at regular intervals. Those walls were to be manned. Those men were to act as lookout men, to watch for the coming of the enemy. Those walls would have been manned 24 hours a day. And the men who were on night duty had a special job of keeping the city while the inhabitants were sleeping. And he who was caught sleeping in the job, he was looked upon as being a traitor. These watchmen, they had to be obedient. They had to take their orders from their superiors, from their commanding officers, these men had to show bravery. They had to be unmovable, an unmovable watchman, standing there at his post. He had been given a post to stand at. He wasn't to run away from it, even though it meant perhaps the enemy was coming towards him. No, there's a man who had to stand and guard his patch. He had been given a post to stand at. The watchman's task was also one that demanded constant care. We read here that he wasn't to hold his peace day nor night. He was to be vigilant all round the clock. Oh, there was no such thing as a retreat into the barrack room. In the wee hours of the morning, going up to his commanding officer and saying, "Oh, sir, it's too cold out there. Sir, look at my fingers, they're going blue. Sir, can I come in here for a wee cup of soup? Get warmed up and go out again." No, here's a man who had to stand there. Didn't matter what the weather was. There was no use in complaining. He had been given a post to stand at. These watchmen were also to be a spokesman. He was to warn the people. Warn the inhabitants of the city if there was danger on the way. There's a man who had to sound the alarm, blow the trumpet, and if he neglected in his duty, he was held personally accountable. And these watchmen here in our text, in verse 6, they were divinely appointed for a solemn task. Down through the years in Scripture, we find that the Lord has appointed his watchmen. And a classic example of a divinely appointed watchman is the prophet Ezekiel. Men and women, if you turn in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 33, there we read of how Ezekiel was a divinely appointed watchman. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 to 9. There we read, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked of his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." What a solemn position of responsibility the Lord had given to Ezekiel, his servant. There's a man who was to be a spiritual watchman. It was his business to sound out the warning to sinners, to warn them to flee from the wrath to come, to warn them of the error of their ways, of the danger of sin. There's a man who was to be engaged in the art of soul winning. He was divinely commissioned to be a watchman for the Lord. And the message that this man was to bring was none other than the message of the word of the Lord. And here we read that if Ezekiel did his part, and if he warned sinners of the error of their ways, then he had delivered his soul. If the people didn't listen to him, if they didn't heed them, it was their own fault. But on the other hand, if Ezekiel neglected in his duty, if he didn't warn sinners of the dangers of sin and the pathway that they were treading in, if they were cut down suddenly, then the Lord would require their blood at the hands of Ezekiel. What a solemn position of responsibility the Lord gave to his servant. Going back to our text here, in Isaiah chapter 62 and the verse 6, we find that the Lord has appointed his watchmen who would be obedient to the task. And men and women, that was not always the case in the history of Israel. For in Isaiah chapter 56 and the verse 10, we read concerning some of Israel's watchmen. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Such things could not be said of the watchmen that the Lord would appoint here in our text. Men and women, today, the Lord has appointed us to be His watchmen. As New Testament believers, you and I are to be spiritual watchmen, like the prophet Ezekiel. You and I are to be lookout men who will sound out the warning to the lost around us. You and I are to be at our post. For men and women, the Lord has given us a post to stand at. That's the task of the preacher. It's the task of the Sunday school teacher. It's the task of the children's meeting worker, the youth fellowship worker, the office bearer in the church. It's the duty of the parent, of the Christian in general. There's none of God's children today who are exempt from this. The Lord has commissioned all of us today. He says to all of us in the words of Ezekiel, warn them from me. And folks, the Lord does hold us responsible. The Lord does hold us accountable. We have been commissioned with His message. Men and women were never off duty in this regard. We have to and must fulfill our watch. We have been given a post to stand at. Sound out the warning to those around us in our family. The little ones growing up who are outside of Christ. Those whom the Lord has given to us. Those whom we work with. Sound out the warning to those around us. Be a spiritual watchman. I wonder today, as we go about our day-to-day business, are we at our post for the Lord? Are we like the watchmen here in verse 6, who will be instant in season and out of season? The Lord tells us all today, as He said to Ezekiel the prophet, His blood will I require at thine hand. O men and women, let it not be said today that there are souls perishing in hell and our hands are dripping with the blood of lost sinners because they never once heard the gospel from our lips. The Lord has given us a task to perform. We are to be spiritual watchmen for the Lord. Notice with me, secondly, the divine command. Our text continues with the words, Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Or if you look there at the margin of your Bible, Ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, keep not silence. Here we have a divine command to keep not silent before the Lord. Not only does the Lord appoint the watchmen, but the Lord commands the watchmen to be not silent before Him. Folks, this is a reference to prayer. The Lord is commanding us here not to keep silent when it comes to the matter of prayer. There we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and the verse 17, pray without ceasing, pray continually, don't give up in this matter. The Lord would say to us all today, don't hold your peace towards me. Keep the incense burning on the altar of intercession. God's remembrancers are to remind the Lord of what He has already said. The Lord has appointed His praying people to be remembrancers. To be a remembrancer continually. Why? Because the Lord is continually at His work, at the right hand of the Majesty on High. He's ever living to make intercession for us. The Lord never keeps quiet regarding His church. And until the Lord keeps quiet regarding His church, He doesn't allow us to be quiet either. There's a restless Savior here in our text, and He's commanding and calling His people to be restless as well, to be a remembrancer before the Lord. Men and women, even though all of the counsels of God will be performed to the last jot and the last tittle. Every last soul for whom Jesus died and shed his blood will be saved, will be gathered into the sheepfold. That does not mean that we sit back and be idle and do nothing. We are to be a remembrancer before the Lord. Keep not silence. Isaiah the prophet was given this command further back in this book. If you look there at chapter 43 and the verse 26, there we read of how Isaiah was given this command directly from the Lord. Isaiah 43 verse 26. There the Lord challenges Isaiah and he says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together." The Lord has commanded Isaiah to remind him of what he has already said. "Remind me of my promises. Declare them unto me." Men and women, there's an encouragement for us all today to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, the Lord can never forget his promises. But here he's bidding us to act as if he could forget them. We are to remind the Lord of what he has already said. Make his word the basis of our prayers. You think of Daniel the prophet. If you turn there in your Bible to Daniel chapter 9 and the verse 2, we read there of how Daniel was also a remembrancer before the Lord. There in Daniel chapter 9 and the verse 2, we read there of how God's servant was actually reading the scriptures. He was reading from the book of Jeremiah. And the passage of scripture that Daniel was reading from was Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. And there was God's servant down in the land of Babylon, a captive. And he was reading in the prophecy of Jeremiah how the Lord had already said that Israel would be in captivity for 70 long years, that Jerusalem would be desolate for 70 long years. And men and women, at the point of reading this passage of Scripture, those 70 years were nearly up. 68 years had passed. There were roughly 2 years of captivity left. And as Daniel read God's word, he just didn't sit back and say, "Well, sure, the Lord has said we're going to be in captivity for 70 years. There's nothing I can do about it anyhow." No, there's a man. There's a man who made God's word the basis of his prayers. He quoted God's word in prayer to the Lord. He reminded the Lord of what he had already said. For there in the verse 19, he prays, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." He reminded the Lord of his promises. "Lord, listen. Lord, remember what thou hast said. Lord, perform what thou hast already said." Daniel was a man who knew God's promises. Men and women, if we are to remind the Lord of his promises, then we would need to be familiar with them. And if we are to be familiar with God's promises, then we would need to be familiar with our Bibles, to be acquainted with God's book, so that we can fill our mouths with arguments. For men and women, if we don't remember the promises of the Lord, then how can we bring them to the memory of the Almighty? There are many of God's promises today, and they're very seldom used. Oh yes, maybe they've become rusty. They've never been turned in the lock of prayer day by day. Men and women, it's our task not to let them become rusty, but to oil them with our prayers and produce them before the Lord like Daniel did. Remind the Lord of what he has already said. The divine command here in our text is to keep not silence before the Lord. Wrestle with the Lord. Pray alone. Pray often. Pray with other people. For the Scriptures tells us that there's special prevalence in the prayers of more than one person. For over there in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19 we read, "If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Child of God today, let us never think that we've prayed enough. Oh, let it not be the mentality of God's people today to put back the weapon of prayer into the sheath again. Think we've prayed enough. Now, men and women, we're commanded here, keep not silent before the Lord. Oh, dear Christian parent today, don't give up on prayer because of a despairing heart. Maybe you're praying for your offspring, your family members. Maybe they've become rebellious. Rebellious at home, perhaps. Don't want to be found in church anymore. They want to go their own way. You haven't seen your prayers answered yet. Child of God, be a remembrancer. God commands us here to keep not silent before Him in prayer. Let us remember that the work of God is in a greater hand than ours. The Lord is able to do far exceeding and abundant above all that we can ask or even think. Notice with me lastly in our text here the divine challenge. The Lord Jesus Christ here is laying down a challenge to His watchmen in the verse 7. "And give Him no rest till He establish, until He make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Christ here is challenging His watchmen. Give Him no rest in your prayers. Those are bold words. Give me no rest until I answer your prayers. Here's the Lord, and He's exhorting us to be importunate with Him in prayer. Press me on the matter. Urge me on the matter. Oh, for grace to pray like that. To persist in prayer like that. Over in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, if you turn there to Luke chapter 18, we have a classic example of the Lord Jesus Christ setting forth this importunity in one of His parables. And there in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 7, we have the parable of the importunate widow and the unjust judge. As you read down through that parable, you can picture that wee woman. And she comes to court one day. And she goes up to the judge and she begs the judge, "Oh, Your Honor, listen to me. Your Honor, avenge me of mine adversary." He doesn't want to listen to her. He turns his heels and he goes out the door. You can picture that wee woman coming back the next day. She's standing down at the back of the court. And she shouts up to the judge, "Oh, Your Honor, hear me. Your Honor, avenge me of mine adversary." She tells him that her case is urgent, but he doesn't want to listen. He turns away, goes out the door. You can picture that poor widow coming back day after day after day. Her constant cry is, "Oh, Your Honor, avenge me of mine adversary." He doesn't want to listen. Perhaps you can picture in your mind's eye, the judge is sitting there in his big chair and he looks down to the back of the court and he sees her once again and he gives the order to bar her from the court. Tell her to go away. Tell her to go home. And perhaps that evening you can picture in your mind's eye the judge walking home and the wee woman she's running after him. "Oh, Your Honor, avenge me of mine adversary." No, he goes into the house and he closes the door behind him. She doesn't go home. She lies at the doorstep at night. The next morning, the judge is sitting there at his breakfast and there's a knock at the door. And the servant goes and answers the door. And he comes in and he says, "Your Honor, there's a wee woman here to see you. Oh, what's she like?" And he begins to describe the lady to the judge. "Oh, it's that wee woman that's been a nuisance. She's been running after me all week. Tell her to go home." And perhaps you can picture the judge going to work that morning. She's running after him. She's pleading her case. Look there at the verses 4 and 5. the judge stops. And he says to himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her." Why? "Lest by her continual coming she weary me." Here's the Lord Jesus Christ setting forth this poor widow woman as a model of importunity for all of God's people here in Korean today. Doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ say in the verse 7 of that parable, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. That wee woman didn't take no for an answer. She persisted in her request. She didn't give the judge any rest until he answered her case. May the Lord give us all a desire to pray like that, to persist in our prayers, to give the Lord no rest until he answers our prayers. The great preacher C.H. Spurgeon said these words, "Give God no rest until he rolls up his sleeve, and then you'll see what God's bare arm can do." What bold words they are. Give God no rest till he rolls up his sleeve, and then you'll see what his bare arm can do. Oh, men and women, the Lord is laying down a challenge to all of us here today as watchmen to persist in prayer. Keep at it. For all things are possible to him that believeth. Men and women, the Lord is not behind in the requests of his people. The great Puritan Thomas Brooks, he put it like this: "He that would gain the victory over God in private prayer must strain every string of his heart. He must besiege God so as to get the better of him. He must press God like the importunate widow, so as to put God to a holy blush and make him ashamed that he cannot look us straight in the face if he should deny the importunity of our souls." Again, what a bold statement for the Puritan to make. He talks about getting the victory over God. He talks about besieging God so as to get the better of God. He talks about putting God to a holy blush so that he cannot look us straight in the eye if he should say no to our request. Men and women, that's just like the divine challenge that the Lord is laying down here in our text. The Lord wants us to give him no rest until our prayers are answered and until his purposes are accomplished. His purposes regarding the welfare and prosperity of God's Jerusalem, the church, that they'll be accomplished. That the church would be established in the earth. And that would be made a praise in the earth. And that God would get the praise for making it a praise in the earth. That God's purposes would be accomplished when gospel truth is declared. When the church will become eminent in prayer and in holiness and obedience unto the Lord. Then Jerusalem, the church, will become a praise in the earth. It's our duty to persevere in prayer for mercy for God's church. As we close our message this morning, as a watchman, it's my duty today to warn those who are outside of Christ of the error of your ways, the sinfulness of sin. Oh, it's an ugly thing in the sight of a holy God. Sinners today perhaps are unaware of their perilous condition, a condition that is unclean in the eyes of a holy God, and cut off and separated from a holy God. Where Jesus is, you'll never be. Not a chance of heaven if you remain in your sin. Dear friend, today a refuge has been provided for sinners. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the judgment, the wrath of God that was due to us for sin, standing condemned in the sinner's place, made atonement to God that we might have acceptance and a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Dear friend, today, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to force his way
into your life. You need to throw down your arms of rebellion. Come as a sinner to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Receive Christ as your Saviour. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses from all sin, yours included. Sinner, today you need to come. Bow the knee at the foot of the old rugged cross. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, to take away your sin, to make you ready for heaven and for home. Let us all today take this text as a lesson to be practiced, that we'll be at our post for the Lord as spiritual watchmen, that we'll warn sinners, that we'll be the Lord's remembrancers, not keep silent before Him, that we'll persist in prayer. And as God's people, let us all rise to the divine challenge laid down here in our text, to be importunate in prayer like that wee widow woman in Luke 18. May God bless His word to our hearts this morning. Words of hymn number 500.